This is In Depth NH of the New Hampshire Center for Public Interest Journalism. I'm Roger Wood. The Winnipesaukee River, which runs right through the city of Franklin, is often an attraction for kayakers. But now, river surfing. That's right. River surfing will be the new attraction, which locals hope will draw thousands of people and their wallets to this city west of Lake Winnipesaukee. It is all a part of a plan 6 years in the making to establish Mill City Park at Franklin Falls in the heart of downtown. It's an ambitious plan, executed through grant funds and donations. One of the three surfing features will be open this summer.
6 years ago, this started a process. Can one of you explain that, maybe? Judy?
Yes, so 6 years ago, I can explain what I know because I was not city manager at the time. The city manager at the time put together an economic development group to start working on revitalizing the downtown. And then along came, a lot of things happened in between, but along came the guy, Marty, down here on the podcast that said, I think that we could put a whitewater park in here, which I think was met with a little bit of hesitation at first. But then as we reviewed, or they reviewed the information on it and the study that was done on whitewater parks and looked at other whitewater parks, and especially those that are in communities that mirror our demographics, and saw what a whitewater park had done for that community, then I believe the economic development groups changed around quite a bit and got behind the project.
I had to get a little background myself on what whitewater sports is. It's not just rafting down rapids, is it? I mean, it's kayaking along the river and surfing. Marty, I was interested in the fact people surf like that.
Yeah. So surfing in our whitewater park, surfing will be the predominant activity. We have a whitewater river, meaning that it already today has whitewater rapids, but it's at the mercy of five dams above it. So when we really need water in the middle of summer, right, when you would expect to have these whitewater sports and be able to do that activity, there's no water. Our river kind of dries up, goes to minimum flow, and then it's just a bunch of rocks. And so that river really put Franklin on the map, you know, 100 years ago.
Yeah, with the mills.
Right. And I mean, we're just like many New England towns. We're just a mill town that had a vibrant economy because of the mills and the jobs that they created. The surfing aspect, like I said, will be the activity. That will be the draw. We've engineered three different whitewater features. Two of them are specifically designed for whitewater paddlers. And so someone in a kayak will be able to go out there and do tricks and surf, kind of like people surf in the ocean, but obviously this will be in the river. And then the middle feature is designed for surfers, traditional shortboard surfers that you would see in the ocean.
It's fascinating. That's very interesting. Surfing inland.
That's right. I mean, if you, anyone who's out there, if they're like drawing a blank on what this kind of looks like, Google the Munich wave. It's in Munich, Germany. It was built in the 70s. And people surf literally in the middle of the city of Munich every day, all year long.
Do you have normally a good flow that makes rapids or small rapids or large rapids?
Yeah, so at a normal springtime release, you could expect Class 3 and Class 4 rapids in our river. This year, the snowpack wasn't as good as years past, and so there hasn't been as much water coming down. But because we have all these dams and mill sites on our river, there's a lot of old deeds, right, that basically gave mill operators an amount of water that they could expect every day. Because of that, we know that the minimum flow in our river is 250 cubic feet per second. And so that's what we've modeled our whitewater park after. In short, what that means is 365 days a year, you can come to Franklin and you can surf in the river.
Wow. And you mentioned category 3 and 4, and I just read up on the fact that it demonstrates different amounts of skill needed as far as that.
Yep. Yeah. It's very subjective in the whitewater world. You know, it's so small. There's not a lot of great literature out there providing the categories, but essentially, you know, class 6 is like Niagara Falls and class 1 is something that's not moving or barely moving. So class 3 and 4 rapids are typically the amount of rapids, you know, on a whitewater rafting trip. You know, everybody's getting wet. It requires some maneuverability. The waves are pretty big. You know, from a raft guide standpoint, everybody gets wet. That means everybody's having a good time.
Right. Your sport is what? The surfing or the kayaking? Because I know you run a shop that works with kayakers.
Yep. All of the above. So I'm a whitewater kayaker. I'm a whitewater rafting guide, but my favorite part of whitewater sports is surfing and doing tricks while doing that.
Judy, you got a grant to start this process, right?
We've gotten grants for the entire process. As you know, the city of Franklin is a poorer community in the state of New Hampshire. After the mills left, we weren't able to reinvent ourselves until now. So we're not able to use taxpayer dollars to fund this project. So we partnered with the nonprofit Mill City Park, and we're offering the land. And Mill City Park is building the park and also maintaining the park. Wow. So we did start off with a grant from EDA. We've received a grant from Land and Water Conservation. We've also received a TAP grant for our trestle bridge. Which will hopefully be a viewing platform. It's an old railroad trestle bridge, beautiful. Needs a little bit of remodeling, but it will hopefully be a viewing platform. And we're also earned CDFA tax credits for the state of New Hampshire for this park as well that we're selling at this point in time. We did have a delay because of COVID. But we are still selling those tax credits, and we have just over 100,000 left to sell. And so we're currently in the running for a second Land and Water Conservation Fund grant as well, which will help us with the in-water features, because there's a land portion to the park too. So that was the first grant, and this is for the in-water features. So it is completely funded by donations and or grants at this point in time.
Wow. Must be a big break for the taxpayers.
Yes. Yep.
But they don't have to worry about that part anyway. And part of it is, I don't know if it's your bailiwick or Marty's, is building a pavilion.
The pavilion, that'd be all Marty.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, an amphitheater. This is for like performances and things.
Yeah, that's our intent. So the city owned a bunch of property adjacent to the river, adjacent to the Whitewater Park almost. And the land wasn't being utilized. It had no near-term use. And so part of what we started to think about was with the Whitewater Park, the state of New Hampshire thinks 160,000 new people come to Franklin. And those people are spending $7 million, you know, in the nearby economy while they're here. And so I'd been to a bunch of whitewater parks, and the numbers are pretty staggering. Like, there's not a lot of whitewater paddlers, right? And I don't think that we're going to create a ton more. I mean, I do think having a whitewater park will allow some young kids access to the river, and they'll grow up being paddlers, which I obviously think is great. But the real growth and the real economic development for the project is the spectator, right? The whitewater parks across the country that say for every 2 people in the water, 8 to 10 people are coming to watch. There's newer studies coming out that says those numbers are very, very conservative, right? And it's not 8 to 10, it's like 20 to 40 people coming to watch. And so we really need to think about that customer, right? or that person, that spectator who's coming to Franklin, how are they going to have a good experience? What is here in Franklin for that person? But then what is also kind of here for our own residents, right? Traditional parks are like kind of all the same. You know, there are different kinds of playgrounds. There's different kinds of fields. You know, some have glass backboards and some have chain basketball nets and some are, you know, rope. But for the most part, the components of a park are really consistent in New England. When you go out west, it's not that way. And so a park might have like obscure shaped climbing walls, or it might have a trail system through the woods. Right. And we have some mountain biking trails and things around the state. But here in Mill City Park, we also have the opportunity for pump tracks. And we have ruins that could be fun to explore on foot. And so we tried to take these different sports and bring them into a public setting and have them add to the spectator experience of seeing a whitewater park.
This being the only one in New England, you could draw from anywhere in New England, right?
Well, our reach is a lot farther than that. Whitewater paddlers, we talk a lot about lifestyle sports. And so certainly baseball or basketball could be considered someone's lifestyle if, you know, every year they went to maybe see the Sox, you know, at spring training, or they traveled for the Super Bowl or something like that. But there's, when we're talking about lifestyle sports, there's a portion of people who every time they take a vacation, they go and do the activity they really want to do. And those sports usually are climbing based or whitewater based or mountain biking based. And that clientele, that, I mean, they don't have any problem spending thousands of dollars on gear and $500 on a plane ticket to go somewhere and do their activity for free once they get there, right? So Columbus, Georgia has a whitewater park, a very successful one. And they've surveyed their participants and found out that the average traveling distance is 6 hours away. 6 hours from here gets you to Quebec. It gets you to New York, you know, maybe even Pennsylvania on a good day if traffic's not too bad.
New Jersey.
Right. Right. And so that's a lot farther than just the New England towns.
Certainly is. Judy, what is the condition of the buildings right now? They still exist, the mill buildings?
They don't. So the ruins that Marty was just talking about, those are from the mills. And there are a lot of really neat things out in the park that they're planning on incorporating into the park for both educational purposes and for interest.
So you're really sort of pivoting on the fact that the mill buildings are gone and the business that was involved there.
We are. We're reinventing ourselves using that river. But also paying some respect to our history. We are a mill town and we know we're a mill town. And we're proud of that, but now it's time for us to do something a little bit different, but also respect that history.
What is the time frame for getting it all set up? Where, everything you want, I guess, there.
Marty.
it would be wonderful if it all was in there today. Unfortunately, the projects are very complex. We have two different build cycles. We kind of break it out to the land project and the water project. The land project right now is ongoing. They've already broken ground. In about a month, the park will be open with some access for trails, access for parking, and some views of the river. And slowly we'll build out the park over time. It's our hope that camping is also existing on the park this year, but the final date for that is still undetermined.
Sure.
The river features will start on July 12th. We'll break ground, and the first river feature will take 8 to 10 weeks to build, and that'll be all we do this year inside of the river. The river is very complex, right? Working inside of a river is complex, and we need to make sure that when we're working in the river, we have the best chance for the water to be really low. If the water is really high while you're working in it, that's a problem.
Yeah, I see. When you're talking about working, are you talking about things that go into the river to make this thing happen? I mean, man-made things?
There will be man-made things inside the river. But it's no different than bridge embankments. The material that's on a bridge embankment, the material that's utilized is the same kinds of materials that we'll be utilizing. Our project is a lot less invasive than a bridge embankment because the water's still flowing over the top of kind of our concrete box. Besides that box, there is no other item in the river that shouldn't be. So everything else is rocks of various different sizes. Because we have this mill heritage, we have a lot of timber cribbing, we have a lot of rebar, we have a lot of creosote soak timbers and old granite pilings. And so there's not much natural about our river anymore. So a lot of those old things that are pollutants will be coming out. And then at each location, we'll also have fish passage at those sites to promote the fish in our river.
And Judy, if you want to add, you know, break right in here okay. with something.
I think our plan is after the first feature that will be in the river this year during that 8-week period, that next summer features, the next two features and the final two features will be built in the river. So by the end of 2022, we should have three features for people to use and play on with different, some of them are stand-up surfing, some of them are for the kayaks with different, a little bit of different for each feature in the river.
Mm-hmm. Do you surf, Judy? Do you surf?
No.
So Marty, I don't either, but
Marty has taken me down the river in a raft, and I'll tell you, it is absolutely spectacular.
I bet.
We have a couple times a year where the water is high enough to go down in a raft right now. And you actually feel like you're in the middle of the White Mountains with zero idea that a city is around you.
Amazing.
And that you come out at the base of the downtown of our city. So it's a beautiful experience. I'd highly recommend it.
Boy, I'm sure people will take that recommendation as well. Anything to add to this? I did get the figure of $7 million spent. Was that already spent, or is that the $7 million projected for people to spend?
The exact number is $6.8 million in direct spending annually.
That is taking place now or will?
Will take place.
Oh, well, yeah. I think it's probably low, don't you?
I do too. I think it's a conservative number, especially with what Marty said earlier, that we think more people are going to come to watch than what we've been planning on, which is 8 to 10 people per person in the water. If we do achieve 20 to 25 people coming to watch one person in the water, we will see a lot more than the 7 million in spending per year.
Is there any place for these people to stay?
Currently, there's no place in Franklin, but there's a lot of accommodations, obviously, in the Lakes region and in Tilton. Tilton has, you know, exit 20, which traditionally has, you know, the hall, your kind of normal hotel and motel chains exist right there. That'll be one of the areas where the direct impact of the spending will be felt in other places besides Franklin, which is good for our region.
I know it will be successful. I can tell. you have the passion there. That's what you have. That's really important.
Very, very true.
Yeah. We've been at it for a long time, and everybody's working on the project together. So it's exciting to see things get better from inside.
Marty Parachand is an avid river surfer and the founder of Mill City Park. Their website, millcitypark.com. In Depth NH of the New Hampshire Center for Public Interest Journalism welcomes support from grants, corporations, businesses, and individuals. I'm Roger Wood.